Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Anna, God, I love that banana Anderson.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Hava Nagila Weber. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me on this lovely Monday is my good friend, my work husband, the lovely and wonderful and truly hilarious Ronnie Karam, who can also be found on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, good. I love a Monday.
Me too, especially a Monday like this where we have fun stuff to announce. First and foremost, we are coming to New York next week. Our second show on next Friday is sold out, but we still have some tickets available for Thursday night. We'll be recapping Real Housewives of Dallas, and y'all should come. Even if you are going to come solo, don't be afraid. We won't bite. You'll make friends. It'll be super, super fun. And then on Friday, for those of you coming to our Friday show, we are going to be recapping a classic episode of Roni, Real Housewives of New York. How appropriate, when in New York, doing New York. And the episode that we have chosen is truly one of the greatest of all time. It is Last Call Morocco. That is season 4, episode 10. So if you want to bone up on that, go watch that episode. It's the one where Kelly Ben-Simon and Alex McCord have their big fights. You know, like, open your eyes, close your eyes, open your eyes. All that stuff. We are recapping it. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have so much fun with that. And then our other big piece of news is that, you know, here in L.A., it's awards season. Everyone's gearing up for their various Oscar campaigns, etc. And we will not sit on the sidelines. We are jumping into the award season fray because the 2019 crappies are coming around the corner. And we officially have a date for them, January 5th at the Hollywood Improv here in Los Angeles. Tickets go on sale for that this Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific. So if you want to come see us, get those tickets. We moved to a larger room, but we still think those are going to sell out because the first crappy is sold out really quickly. Last year, or I guess it's really this year, we had tons of guests and a fun, fun time. And Tiffany Haddish was there. I mean, she didn't know she was at the crappies. She just happened to be there.
I mean, she had a pretty good year last year anyway, but I think she topped it at the crappies, guys.
Listen, when we were done with the crappies and we went out to the bar, Tiffany Haddish was there. When we were done with our show in Montreal at Just for Laughs and we went out to the bar outside the show, Tiffany Haddish was there. I kind of think there's a pattern going on here, everyone. So, but anyway, it's gonna be super fun. The crappies is when we give out all sorts of awards to various accomplishments on Bravo over the past year. So it's super, super fun. It's a great, fun fan event. And we're going to try to get a whole bunch of fun guests to come, quote-unquote presenters. So go to watchcrappens.com for tickets to that. And, of course, we have shows next month in Seattle and then the month after that in Nashville. It's going to be a great time. It'll be fun. You got to come, okay?
Hank, we can talk.
Wow. Wow, Bethany. Wow. All these tickets, all these shows. Wow. Wow.
Oh, God. You know, I'm trying to restore an iPhone, people. Can you just make it easier? Why does everything have to be so fucking difficult?
Can't you just show press restore?
No, because you have to go through all these steps and then set up your iCloud. I've already restored it. I have to find out the IMEI number because some fucking teenager on Craigslist wants to know if it's unlocked. I don't know. Okay.
Ronnie, life is hard.
I'm closing it. Life is hard. You know, life is not supposed to be hard with an iPhone. That's the whole point. Steve Jobs would be very upset about this.
I know. He really would be. I agree.
I've quit iTunes. I'm sick of this shit. Come pick up the phone, little teenager.
It almost sounds like your phone needs to go to the doctor.
Dr. Heavenly. Woo!
I need to make sure your iPhone is locked in while I'm away in Miami.
Sister Circle Quad.
My iPhone is locked. And honestly, I am 10 minutes away from unlocking it. And I don't know if I ever want to unlock that iPhone.
You know, I'm not the biggest Mariah fan in the world, as anyone who's ever listened to this for more than 5 minutes knows. But I have to say, the song does work better with Mariah's name in it. Like, it all comes together. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like they're trying to stretch any names out to make things fit.
Yeah.
Like, it just fits better. Mariah. You did it, guys. You did it. Now I can see why they never let Mariah go. They're like, this opening just isn't making sense. We need another name that fits.
I know. I'm still waiting for Carrie to make her comeback on the show because she was so ridiculous. She was one of the best parts of Married to Medicine, and I think it's like devastating that we only get Carrie once a year in a fleeting cameo appearance where she barely even says a word.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten a solid Duncan.
my husband Duncan has been a doctor for the past 20 years, and that's for the past 20 years I've been suffering from Duncan disease.
This is one thing you don't do as a doctor. Which I've learned from Duncan.
As a doctor, Dr. Duncan has taught me many things about Duncan and doctoring.
Well, this episode is called Heavenly Homecoming, and I've been watching The Good Place, and I would love to see Heavenly just go to heaven, you know? And just be questioned by Ted Danson. Like, where do you get off naming yourself Heavenly? Like, this is literally heaven.
And I've been watching Game of Thrones, and I would like to see Heavenly storm the shores of Westeros with a fleet of horse people and dragons.
I would love to see the cutest girl in the world, Kristen Bell. I would love to see her reaction to Heavenly.
Yeah.
The Good Place. Being like, and I'm the one being tested. Heavenly literally just slit Ted Danson's throat with a broken glass, okay?
I want to see Heavenly in the House of Black and White and be like, who are you?
I'm Dr. Heavenly.
Who are you?
I'm Dr. Heavenly.
Who are you?
I'm no one.
Very good.
I'm Dr. Heavenly, gotcha.
I'm from the House of Bitch.
Daddy. Brad Walker.
Daddy Walkers. Yeah. They're just like, hi. They just come kind of like Daddy stumbling at you.
Just Damon. Just being like, hey, baby boy. Why'd you be so mean? That's what they say whenever you kill a White Walker. Why'd you have to be so mean?
Yeah, just, like, why would you do that to me? So we get something better than Heavenly, than Daddy is a Daddy Walker in Game of Thrones. We get Heavenly coaching Allura and her new rap career.
Oh, God. Yes.
Now, Heavenly, Allura's practicing her rap while there's a big foam cutout from Kinko's of her baby face on the wall behind Heavenly.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I did. I also thought it was funny because Allura does this whole rap. I didn't even write it down, but it was like, you can't be me because you want to be me. But you can't be me because I am me and I'm the only one. So you can be a hater. Haters want to hate and pretend, but pretenders can't pretend. And I'm a hater. Like, mommy, leave me alone.
Yeah. What I got from that was Allura's being taunted at school. Like, Allura's being bullied because she says people trying to be a friend of me but they end up offending me, and I'm like, oh, first of all, you're your mother's child, and second of all, we've learned that those are just walls that Heavenly puts up.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly. I just thought it was so funny that she had this, like, her music had this, like, tough persona, like, I'm tough, you can't be friends with me, you try to be me, I'm gonna be tough. Mommy, no, leave me alone, stop.
get out of my room. Because Heavenly's like, your floor is so clean.
To be fair, it's probably also what Kanye West's life was like when he was 13 years old.
I know, Laura was probably the one who came around with dancing around as an Perrier bottle costume.
I don't even understand that.
Because he went on SNL this week dressed as a Perrier bottle.
Oh, I know it's, I didn't, and, I know he had an issue.
Have you been cut off from the internet?
No, I mean, I know he was wearing like a MAGA hat. I did not realize he was dressed as a Perrier bottle because I didn't watch that far into the episode yet. He was a Perrier bottle?
Yeah, spoiler alert.
You know what? Like, I was annoyed that SNL even had him on. I think that Kanye West has been canceled, and he canceled himself a few months ago, and it really bothered me that everyone was in such an uproar about Kanye West, and then, like, 3 weeks later, his album comes out, and of course, everyone buys it. I'm like, you know what, people, you gotta put your money where your mouth is. You can't support that. And then, now he's on SNL. Like, what are we saying, you know? It bothered me. And then everyone's shocked he's wearing a MAGA hat. Well, yeah, you knew what he was. You put him on SNL, people.
MAGA and Perrier. I'm not really sure what they're saying, but lots of brands out. Lots of brands getting out there right now.
MAGA and Perrier equals, like, old white dudes.
Yeah, and now beer. I mean, we've had quite a week in this country.
And beer. And hats. See, yeah.
A week in America, everybody. Contessa, now this is the kind of parent you need to be in the current climate in America. She's swinging her kids in the park in her season 2 wig, and she's like, guys, when you get to heaven, you're going to get to see everyone you ever knew. And her kid's sobbing while she's like pushing her on the swing. And her kid's like, I don't want to die. I don't want to. It's like, tough titties, kid.
Okay. Also, how many people do those children know who have died?
God, it's like such a sad scene. She's like, here we are having fun, spending quality times. We're all going to die.
Oh, man. Meanwhile, Eugene wants to do a men's barbecue and he wants to invite Greg. And Toya's like, but what you should have did was maybe not do that because it's Greg and Quad and everything. And he's like, well, what does that have to do with me? Which I'm like, I'll tell you what it has to do with you, because like Quad is like, you may be friends with Greg, which, by the way, Eugene, I like you. Why are you friends with Greg? But also, Toya and Quad are, like, the main link in that relationship, and I don't like that. I just, you know what I'm saying? I think you gotta, like, take a step back. And on these shows, they have a real problem doing that.
Yeah, they do. And the guys are always like, what? He didn't cheat on me. Well, who cares? You're couple friends, okay? Yeah. You are friends as couples. He betrayed the couple. He's no longer allowed in the couple friend circle. Thank you.
That's a much better way of saying it, yes.
So get him out. And this is also not your show, Eugene, okay? This is a show of the women. It has little to do with you.
Yes.
So you are not the main cast member, so just ride along, sir. And Toria's like, well, I have a problem going forward with this scenario, because if her and Greg are going to be able to work this scenario out, I'm like, who taught Toya scenario? Where did she hear this word? And how many times is she going to say it today?
Yeah. She just thinks scenario is like a hero. It's like, oh, I love that movie with Scenario the Cowboy.
Scenario Dawson. She has a fucky eye.
I love when Scenario does that thing with a sword and does like a Z. And it's like, Scenario. It's like, that's Zorro.
So Mariah and her kid go to see Simone, Dr. Simone, at the OBGYN. And Mariah's like, hi, I'm Mariah. I'm just here for a chit chat. And then I don't know why Mariah cracks me up. She's wearing Gucci to the doctor.
Yeah. It's a little excessive. Mariah, the ambassador to womanhood for her daughter. Now, most mothers are, I imagine. But I also imagine, I mean, I don't know what it's like to teach your daughter about, like, going to the gynecologist for the first time. I won't pretend to know. But is it really as awkward as, like, having your daughter sit in a chair and then you get up on the thingy and be like, and these are stirrups. You put your feet in this and it's like, whoa.
She goes, no, you put your thing in these things.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Then Simone's like, oh, my God, you showed her the stirrups. And she's like, I didn't know the official name.
Stirrups.
But this has the
official brand name of stirrups.
I would like to congratulate my family for out awkwarding this family, because my sister thought she was bleeding to death and had no idea why. Okay, she like hid for weeks because she didn't know how to tell us that she was dying. So no. There you go.
I'm sure she's so happy you told that to everyone.
It's just fun. It's like, oh, good old memories, guys. Right? Memories.
Yes. So basically Mariah's like tells Simone, like, oh, I thought maybe you can teach her about growing up, like, in a womanly way, but not the meat and potatoes. That'll come later. I'm like, she's in high school. I think she knows about the meat and the potatoes and
I all don't. The food What's groups. The meat and potatoes?
I think that means like sex. S-E-X.
Oh, right? I just thought it was another, I don't know. I never know what Mariah's talking about. I really don't.
she really was like, yeah, don't tell her about the meat and potatoes because she needs to be on a healthier diet.
Yeah, she's still on chicken fingers and green beans, okay? I'm not ready to like switch over my cooking right
yeah.
now.
She's like, I just learned SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, she actually said, you just need broccoli and spinach. That's what she said. I'm guessing she means like a hot dog and nuts, or like the penis and the balls, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I had no education on this stuff.
One of those great mysteries of marriage medicine. You know, there's so many layers on this show, so much room for interpretation.
So Simone makes her get out, and she's like, the whole reason a young person comes to the OBGYN in the first place is you got shit to tell me you can't tell your mama. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good conversation.
Lauren's like, I murdered someone. Whoa. There are cameras here, Lauren. That was a bit. Wow. Man, I feel like that's the biggest laugh I've gotten out of you in like 2 years. That's my goal, everyone.
That is not true. You've been killing me lately, you know, especially.
For some people don't know this. We've been doing this show for a long time, and a lot of people will sometimes we'll get someone who's like, you should be talking more about this, or you should try to be doing this, or you should try whatever. They always say sometimes what we should be doing. And honestly, what people need to know is at the end of the day, all I really am trying to do is make Ronnie laugh. That's truly the only thing I'm trying to do with this podcast. Like,
well,
sure, it's fun
too,
because
I mean, we're the only audience we have.
I know, we're like, so narcissistic.
We're the only people to get a laugh from, you know?
I know. Sometimes I just laugh and. Sometimes I actually feel like my laugh is just a trigger response now. Like, sometimes you'll be like, well, there's a pee pot. And I'll go, you know?
Because, you know, if you don't, I won't stop until you do. I'll just keep monologuing until I get something. I'm a sicko like that.
We're our own laugh tracks. I like that.
So Simone is like, now, do you have crushes? Now, stay away from boys. They are nasty. Do you have a cell phone, Lauren? Are you and your friends texting pictures? You also want to stay away from that. Okay, why don't you teach her what a vulva is, okay? Because, personally, I don't know.
Well,
like, there are things I want to learn. Well, obviously, those sending pictures back and forth. It's called picture phones, okay? We've all got them.
I mean, a vulva is obviously a very dependable vehicle that has a great safety rating. So, basically, yeah. I mean, I think what's assumed is during that, like, 15 minutes... that passed while Mariah was sitting outside, that's when all the doctorly talk was, the real doctorly talk, like, this is where your this is, and this is where your that is, and, like, lady parts, lady parts, lady parts. Which is why they didn't really show it, because she's, like, this young girl, and I'm sure she doesn't want, like, her first gynecological exam to be on TV. So, anyway, so that happened.
Oh, and I was just picturing them playing Uno back there.
They
so
could have. They could have been doing that, too. I mean, I don't know what it's like going to the OBGYN. It could be just playing Uno. What do I know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
there,
know.
We just put the no in Uno. You know? No, I don't know either.
I don't know. Maybe they're playing Sorry. So now we go to Jackie's house, where she is, like, puttering around her kitchen. She's wearing this big green shirt that says, me. It's like, oh, thanks for the reference point.
And the song is like, easy to see the haters that will see you going. I'm not really sure. I feel like Mariah wrote that song, because I don't know what the fuck it's talking about.
She probably did. She like wrote it in the back of like a, I don't even want to say a cocktail napkin, because that's almost too fancy.
Yeah,
it's like a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, like a car wash paper towel, like a car wash bathroom paper,
like a
towel.
Chipwich wrapper.
Yeah. So Jackie is cooking out of one of those silver barbecue trays. Mm-hmm. That we all take to picnics and stuff. And Quad arrives. And Quad is all positivity today, which is funny, I think. Like, she goes from not talking to anybody to be like, hurly burly shoot-a-boo-boo.
Oh, I see everything you got on, including your salmon pink and your green. And I was like, oh, now I see why Jackie is wearing a shirt that says me. Because if she weren't wearing it, Quad would, like, actually think it was her. She's like, oh, look at you, Miss Quad. Like, no, it's me. Me. You. Oh! Hello, this is Lisa Rinna. We have an ad coming up, so you better listen to it, baby.
So Jackie's like, I cooked you dinner. And she's like, what'd you cook, girl? Jackie says, you got your protein, your greens. And then Quad says this. And I had to listen to this. Do you have it?
The sound clip
I sent you? I had to listen to this 10 times.
Okay.
Of anybody foolish enough to think that Jackie has cooked anything. She does not cook.
No, it was just the beginning part. I was like, what?
Oh, there's that.
Now, child, if anybody foolish enough. And now that I have figured out what it is, it seems so easy. I hear it back. Now, child, if anybody foolish enough to think that Jackie's cooked anything, she does not cook. But how she says it. Now, child, if anybody.
I wish I could find my Quad the Daffodil sound clip because when I changed computers, everything got moved. I found a clip that says Quad English. I wonder what that is.
I think that's
oh,
this
it's
one.
You. It's yours.
Yeah, Quad English. A child of anybody.
Child the Daffodil has a baby. That was my favorite Quad thing of all. It, like to this day, I have not been able to decipher that. Joe the Daffodil has a baby. Like, why is she talking about daffodils?
Because she said, Joe the Daffodil has a baby.
Oh, it's classic.
So Jackie is like, now, how are you? And then Quad just takes a pause and she's like trying to work it up. She's like, I'm Joe the Daffodil has a baby.
Quad's like, ah, Jackie, I'm not used to leaning on people. I can just imagine Quad, like, actually not understanding how to, like, lean on someone. She's just like, is this it? No, you're sitting down right now. Is this it? You're crab walking. Is this it?
You are standing on your head right now,
ma'am. You're doing jumping jacks. Am I leaning now? So, yeah.
And Jackie's like, it is not leaning on people when you allow me to hold hands. When I couldn't walk last year, you let me hold your hand. She's like, it's not your fault. I just don't put my problems on other people. Now I'm telling you about me, Jackie. And then her phone keeps ringing. And yes. She's like, it's my husband. And she's like, well, he's calling you. Now, if there was a total disconnect, he wouldn't be calling you.
I'm like,
now, how many Birkin bags have you received at your office?
I'm like, just because Gregory is calling does not mean that there's an emotional connection. He's looking for fish sticks or something. Like, hey, where'd you put the fish sticks, Quad?
Is this tartar sauce and mayonnaise that you've got in this little thing?
Tartar sauce is made from mayonnaise, Gregory!
You cannot spell mayonnaise without no, spelled backwards, of course.
You also can't spell it without saying ayo.
He wants mayonnaise. He wants mustard. He wants tartar sauce. And all I have is oil and vinegar.
So the phone rings again, and Jackie's like, he's trying to find you. So she picks it up and she goes, Gregory! You want to say something? You called? And he's it's like, just, it's fish sticks!
And the fish sticks! She's talking like, first of all, the way she even answers that phone call, she's like a reverse receptionist or something. Hello, Gregory, would you like to say anything? Like, he's on the phone. Is he, what, you think that he's just going to prank call you? And then he goes, you called? It's like, yes, that's, it's actually present tense. He is actually currently calling you as... You guys are currently having a conversation on the phone.
Yeah. You called. And he goes,
I just wonder why you're not home tonight.
And she goes, I'm working, it's all. Is there something you want? You called. And he's like, I want to know where my wife is.
And she goes, and now you know. Click. Jackie,
yeah, she goes, listen, brother. Now you know. Click. I'm like, okay, wow.
I want you to know that I'm happy for Gregory. And I want nothing but the best for his fish sticks. Was she perverted like me?
Ah, fiddlesticks.
So Jackie just looks at her, and she looks at Jackie, and she goes, we don't have much conversation. And Jackie's like, that sounded like a conversation. He wanted to know where his fish sticks were.
Yeah. And Quad is like, uh-uh. I mean, Jackie, I mean, you're grasping at straws here. This is a dead marriage, okay? It's been dead for a while. Quad has, if this marriage had any life to it, Quad would have probably had a baby with him. But she doesn't want to have a baby, and she keeps saying it's because she doesn't want to bring a baby into a relationship where she doesn't know where it's going, which I think is totally valid. But I think ultimately it's because she's like, knows that there's no future with him. So she's not even going to bother having him. She doesn't even want to have a baby with him. I have this feeling that, like, if you're probably married and the idea of a family has crossed your mind and you don't want to be without kids, you probably are going to try for a baby, because I feel like that's what married straight people do, you know? If they want to have a kid, they usually have...
Let's fix it! They're called Band-Aid babies.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jackie's like, that's a man looking for his wife. And Quad goes, Gregory knows! 10 minutes from divorcing his ass. 10 minutes! 9:59! 9:58! 9:57!
And Jackie's like, I understand the humiliation and embarrassment. I'm like, Jackie, that was a month ago.
Yeah.
I like that Jackie is just pretending that this all happened a decade ago, you know, but now she's okay.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, there's that. And there's that. I mean, what else is there to say, really? So next up, Heavenly is talking to her son, who is basically turned into his father already. She's like, hey, brother, you got some food? Look in! And he's like, mm-hmm. Like, yeah. He's so his father. He just kind of, like, stumbles off.
Yeah, he's just like, and he's like, oh, I think that Daddy Junior feels some kind of way about dating, because he never brings the girls around for me to meet. And I feel like if he really liked me, he would bring the girls around for me to meet. But, you know, them, you know, he needs to see. I see through those hoes. He needs to stay away from those hoes and be with the smart girls. I'm like, or maybe he's gay. I mean, that's possible, too. You know?
Oh, my God. This family will totally implode.
He will be, yes, ruined.
Yeah, good luck with that, Damon Jr. Especially with a name like Daddy Jr. Yikes. So she's like, you need a woman like your mama. You don't need some pretty bitch. Wait a minute. That's an insult on me.
So Damon comes downstairs like, boom, boom, boom. That's how I imagine him walking down the staircases. Boom, boom, boom. And he sees Damon Jr. He's like, hey, baby boy. Boom, 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 boom. Walking over to you. Boom, 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 boom. He like narrates his footsteps. Boom, boom, boom. So he gives him a little hug, and then the Damon Jr. is like, this is too awkward. There's emotions. So he leaves. And so now it's just Damon and Heavenly hanging out. And she's like, hey, Daddy, what'd you do today at work? And he's like, oh, I cleaned my office and got that stuff sorted out. Oh, my mom. It's like, oh, wow, this is as exciting as ever.
Yeah, it's riveting over here. And Heavenly tells him about the anger management doctor. I gotta find the root of my anger to make it better, Daddy. I never realized my mama never told me she loved me growing up. That bitch, Daddy!
Hey, that was mean. Why are you being so mean?
Receipts, Daddy, receipts. He said Mariah was triggering me, Daddy. I gotta go to Miami to visit the past. I see what it did for you in Barbados. And he's like, if there's something that will bring peace and take away moments of extreme anger, please do it immediately.
You know, it's funny, because when we went to Barbados, I really felt so much closer to Rihanna, and my life is better now.
When I find out what makes me angry, the doctor might hypnotize me. What do you think about that, Daddy? And he's like, no. What if he hypnotizes you to be mad when Damon wears blue or something?
Which I can just imagine him like... lying awake at night being like, I don't want to have to stop wearing blue. My scrubs are blue.
That's all he thinks about. Like, what if she makes me stop wearing scrubs everywhere we go? That's like his greatest fear in the world.
That truly is, by the way.
I don't want to have to buy Dockers.
So then we go over to Eugene, and he's it's bro night at Eugene's house, and he's frying up a whole bunch of food on the grill, and all the guys are showing up. Hey, what's going on? Hey, oh, Aiden, what's going on? Cecil, what's going on?
Oh, Cecil, you look like a child molester wearing a kid's Force shirt everywhere you go. It's creepy, dude. Stop. You're freaking me out at this point. That business isn't even going. What are you publicizing? Do you know how many people are probably trying to download this app? It's not even there. You just look like a creep. Please stop it.
Yeah.
This really sums up the men on this show, because Eugene says, this is obviously not in my diet, but Toy is not home. And Cecil says, well, what you don't know won't hurt her. I was like, ugh, too soon.
I think actually everything that Toya doesn't know has hurt her.
What's this? Ow.
She's like holding a knife by the wrong side.
Why do these gloves only have two fingers? Ow! It's an electric socket.
Ew, can we drink this battery acid? Ow, my throat.
I tried to drink a Cosmopolitan and I was choking. That's the magazine, Toya.
Hey, you ever try to eat that martini stick that had the olives around? That hurts too.
I'd like to order a rusty nail.
Can I have some chicken sushi, please?
So the guys all arrive and they're like, dude, look, it's Daddy. And he's like, I still haven't gotten used to dudes calling me that.
Bum, bum, bum. He's walking down the stairs, and then Greg shows up. His like pants are up to his nipples, you know, and he's like,
hey everyone, I'm here, I found the fish sticks.
So Eugene puts out the whole crawfish spread. Eugene knows how to do a barbecue. He barbecues like every single season, and he always turns out a good looking barbecue, and this time he put out all those crawfish. I was like, you know. So they're all eating the crawfish, they're chumming around, cracking jokes and everything, and they all settle in, and then, someone asks Greg, like, how's it going? He's like, well, you know, it's just trying to, whatever. Oh, no, I'm sorry, no, they ask Curtis, how's everything going with you, Curtis? And he's like, well, every day, just trying to make, things are just getting better every day, just trying to make my average better every day. And Greg's like, what's your secret? You know? And he's like,
and he goes, yeah, he's like, it's a lot of work. Apparently, you have to ask them about themselves.
It's a lot of paying attention to a lot of details about them. Oh, so you can't be self-involved. Wow, that's so strange in a relationship.
Wow, what a step. And no one responds to that. They just look at him like he's crazy, because he's also not eating carbs. He's just having like salad. And they're like, he's like, sucks for him, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we see the testimonial where Jackie and Curtis are talking to each other and to us. And Curtis is wearing a red plaid and pink shirt with a red and pink polka dot tie. I mean,
yeah,
talk
it's a little
about
Reza.
Not listening to your wife.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The sign is, all signs are pointing to he is not listening to his wife, because she never would have let that happen had he been listening.
No siree. And she looks exasperated as it is. She's like, I have been washing this man's car. And I don't know why I'm doing all the work. And then he still won't let me style him.
And he says, if I was Greg, I would have lots of questions about this, that, and the other. And she goes, now you see, Curtis, girls are more creative about getting answers. And he goes, well, it could be that you're more insensitive, because I know they were very insensitive to you when I was going through all of that stuff last year. Ugh.
She just gives the camera a look like, I took back this idiot. Because he's basically saying, you know, I would feel very lonely if I were Greg. Like, if he were Greg. I'm like, you basically were Greg. Yes. And he was like, because the last thing he would want would be to be bombarded with questions. But you know what, though? That's what happens. Like, you know, you did something wrong, and that's the consequence. People ask the questions. You sort of forfeit. Like,
he's got another thing in common with Greg, because he refuses to take responsibility the same way that Greg does. Because they're asking what's going on with him, and Greg's like, well, I've been to the point where I'm so frustrated that I've acted out, and I've done stupid things as a result. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I was in a spot, and it was a moment of escape. I'm like, oh, okay, it's all her fault. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all her fault that you cheated.
Yeah, exactly. She asked you to take out the trash, and you cheated because it was too stressful. Yeah. assholes. How about this? How about you put that energy into getting a better backsplash in your kitchen? How about that? That stupid shit stained and teal backsplash. No wonder why she's so unhappy in your marriage. You force her to look at hideous tiles on her stovetop while she's pretending to be a chef.
So then the couples are all discussing it with each other, and Heavenly's like, why go to a lesser woman? I just don't understand that. And Daddy's like, years ago in the Bible, they had 30 wives. And she goes, you want 30 wives? And he says, no, you're more than enough.
Boom, boom. That's damn right. Otherwise, I'm going to make you stop wearing blue.
Yeah, she goes, no. Then why are you in the Bible? And she says, you guys make excuses for other men, but it would be unacceptable for a woman to do it. And he goes, that's right. Yeah. The men on this show. I want every woman on this show divorced at this point. I'm not really rooting for anybody, except maybe Toya.
I will say this about Damon, though. One thing I actually do appreciate with him is that he's not a hypocrite. He is like blatantly like, yeah, I believe the standards are different for me than for you, as opposed to pretending like they are when they really aren't. At least he's like upfront with his backwards views, you know? So yeah. I actually do appreciate that in a very strange way. And then what I don't appreciate is Greg, once again, not only being the victim, but he's taking another page out of the Peter Bailey book of, like, I was the one trying to make it work all this time. He's like,
yeah, you're quite not. We just have to get on the same page, and I'm trying to, but, you know, I just need faith that she really wants to desire me. She needs to desire me, then I'll know.
As if, like, oh, this is all quite, like... Like, he wants to be in this marriage, and he really loves her, but, like, it's up to her, you know, she's lost the desire in him. Like, no, like, you're awful, and you've run out of arguments one too many times in your tiny little Volkswagen, and it's not enough's enough.
Yeah, your Mini Cooper. Also, if that was the case, do a push-up or two. You know what I mean? So, not that I'm judging, because I don't either, but if that's your whole basis, then, like, I don't know, take a spin class. So Cecil's like, well, whatever. The guys are just basically all acting like their husband of the year, and it kind of grosses me out.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got Cecil, who sat there and used his wife's money without her knowing it for a business that, oh, shocking shock of all shocks, is total bullshit. And their partner went under and all this. So I'm not really feeling a lot for the men right now, except disgust, I have to say.
For some reason, this made me laugh. Eugene was saying how when he was a kid, he wanted his parents to break up because they fought so much. And he was like, yeah, when I was a kid, I was always like, why are they fussing? I don't know why. Hearing Eugene say, why are they fussing? That just made me laugh. There's something like so cute about him saying, why are they fussing?
Well, Eugene's always the one who's always trying to tell everybody to just break up, isn't he? Didn't he tell that to Curtis, too? Because now he's saying this to him. He's like, I'm not saying don't fight for it. I'm just saying, when is it time to say enough? I love you enough to let you go. Like, isn't that always your advice to just, like, cut and run?
Because Eugene has, like, he's like, Eugene's, like, the smartest of these guys. Let's be honest, okay? He, like, Eugene is, like, a voice of reason on this show. Okay, God bless him.
I'm all silent. I was waiting for evidence to be presented.
There is none. Just
Eugene. Wow, Eugene.
I think the evidence is just the way he rolls his eyes at anything Toya does.
Well, didn't I need to save money? So to save money, we're gonna spend $13 million on a house, and then we'll be saving our money.
It's like, well, the next scene is them looking at their new build site, which is in Alpharetta, Georgia. Which is outside of the city so that they can get a lot more. It's like someone just explained this to them. They're like, you can get a place this size for this much money if you go far away. It's like, yeah. Yeah. Congrats. Welcome to the world, guys. Okay. And then Toya has made Eugene promise that they're going to make it look like she's the one who wants to save money, which is just fucking hilarious. Okay.
Exactly. How about, you know, it's a good way to save money. How about you get like a Toyota Camry and sell that giant monstrosity of a vehicle that looked like it came out of Jurassic Park? Okay. They like show up at this build site in essentially like a giant, like auto, not what do you call those? Like a demolition derby vehicle with like
a monster truck.
Monster truck. Yes. Thank you. It's a monster truck. Oh. But,
I'm scared. I found this truck under the bed. Well, Gene.
I'm like, you do not need that car in Atlanta. I'm sorry. You do not need it, and it probably costs a very pretty penny.
Yeah, she's like, of course Eugene wants to drive down to the dirt.
That's where the house is being built, Toya. Okay, you gotta go down there, idiot.
He's like, I bought this car and I have not been able to drive in dirt once. Let me just have this moment. Let me just drive it down a mild incline just for a second.
And she goes, it's been a struggle to find a forever home. And the budget, we promise, Eugene, the budget is $2 million, Eugene. We're not going to go above that, right, Ooj? And he's like, okay, I promise.
I can't believe how hard it is to find a forever home. I thought it'd be easy, because everywhere I go, I see forever stamps, so I thought there'd be forever homes around also.
Forever, ever? So they meet this guy, Neil, who is building them, somehow, a 9,000-square-foot home with a pool and a two-story closet, because Toya is really trying to save money, guys.
Yeah, really trying to save money. Yeah, she's because Toya needs a two-story closet, you know? The best would be if there was, like, no staircase in it, so it's just, like, that would be my favorite thing, that she would just have to, like, take a ladder or, like, go out of the closet and climb up a staircase and go right back in. Just be the greatest, like, weird prank that would make me happy. Also, like, Neil is very cute, but I also kind of feel like he's a con artist. Like, why do I feel like they're about to get sold?
Because they're always conned, that's why, and it seems so like her. And Toya also, I don't know if anybody caught this, but last year's storyline was Eugene getting caught in the basement masturbating, and Toya was very jealous. So now she's sure that her first story is of her closet is in the basement. So now you're going to have him masturbating on your shoes. It's like Toya doesn't think things out.
So, and since she's going to have a two-story closet, they have to find something to cut elsewhere. And Eugene's like, well, I am not going to live in a house without a grill deck. She's like, and I will not live in a house without a two-story closet. I'm like, not even Lisa Vanderpump has a two-story closet, Toya. Like, you could live without a two-story closet.
Yeah, this is like the worst HTV show I've ever seen. And I'm also really sick of watching them look for houses. It's like, how many years do we need of this, okay? So then, Neil, this is another thing that con artists do. Let's celebrate and go to the club nearby. It's on me.
Yeah. You guys are having orange juices, right? Orange juice? Okay, it's on me.
Yeah. I'd love some water and some boiled shrimp. Anybody else? So at the North House, Michael's on the computer FaceTiming with Miles. And he's like, what up, dog? And Miles is like, what up, playboy? I'm like, oh, FaceTime playing.
Yeah.
That's how me and Ben call each other, too.
I was going to say, it struck a little too close to home. Yeah. I love Miles and Michael. I think they are so great. And I just get so happy when there are, like, good kids on Bravo. You know, like, well-behaved, nice kids that have a whole future ahead of them. As opposed to, like, really anyone in Orange County. yeah.
Yeah. So Simone comes home and she's like,
hello, Miles. Hello, have you been studying hard?
So then
he's like clearly Cecil... stoned on his on. By the way, on a futon in college.
At yeah, he totally like, looks stoned as hell. Yeah,
he is like does not even realize he's on FaceTime. He thinks he's like playing like Angry Birds or something. He's like, that bird looks like Michael, and there's a bird that looks like mom. Yeah, why are like, you swiping at our faces?
Why are you catapulting a green pig at me? Miles.
Oh, sorry. It's the other way around. So I thought she was on to him because she goes, he is loving his freedom. Sometimes so much that he gets his priorities out of order. And I'm like, uh-oh, she's going to call him on drug use. And she's like, study or go to the movies. Going to the movies wins. Like, that's called weed.
What if you were in film school? You're right. It is called weed.
It's weed. Cecil comes home, and Michael's like, I'm going to go play Fortnite with the squad, as we do.
He's like, I do not want to be around my parents right now.
So then they have the same scene they have every single week for years and years and years and years and years.
Cecil's been spending more time in the North House, and he's been laid off. And then, here's a shocker. Here's a shocker. Cecil tells us, the Kids Force app, I thought we'd be a lot further along in the company. And as it turns out, the programmer's company went under. So, So is that because your programmer was also your proof of concept? It was a kid who was mowing your lawn, wasn't it? It was, yeah, right?
We knew that this was going to be a big fail, and yeah, it's a big fail.
Yeah, our programmer, his company went under because he had to start fourth grade, so...
He's like, damn, middle school ruined my whole plan.
I love Cecil, I really do, and I love Simone. But Kids Force, Cecil, that was a big...
Oh, man.
I wouldn't even say it's a swing and a miss. It wasn't even a swing. That was just like... That was like you did not even show up at home plate. You accidentally walked into the stands. Like, that was not... No.
If a man took money out of my account and invested it without telling me in some stupid... In anything, really... But especially this.
Or a shampoo.
He would not even have the opportunity to shoot this scene. He would be dead. He would be dead under Toria's basement cement. Okay?
I would be furious. I would actually be $25,000. Yeah. I would be
So he's nice, furious. But he would be dead. And yes. He's kind of dead to me on this show. Like, I don't even care. Simone has the privilege to do whatever she wants, and I will never complain about her and how she treats him, because he's earned every bit of it.
But the good news is that he's winning her back with small bottles of water. She's like, Cecil, I love your small bottles. I love your small bottles of water.
And he's like, I hate small bottles. So that's their thing now. She's going to get to keep tiny bottles. And that is called small wins.
Okay? Yeah,
that's called recognizing small wins. And also, it's called killing the earth more quickly than need be. Okay?
She has like an orgasm every time she gets into an Uber. Another small bottle of water for free for me.
She's got two houses. Like, she's got the biggest carbon footprint of anybody on Bravo right now, Simone.
So now Scott and Contessa, they go to the doctor's office because Contessa wants to get a mastectomy, preventative, a prophylactic mastectomy. So they go see Dr. Janine Pettiford, who is a beautiful doctor who walks in. She looks like an anchor lady. Like, I feel like she should be on the local CBS affiliate, but she's also a doctor, which I liked.
Yeah, I feel like she's waiting in the wings to come onto this show because her name has Petty in it. I'm in.
Good point. Yeah, or she's just looking to take over the Heartbreakers.
Yeah. She's like, this is my secretary and the okay.
So they just are talking about it's.
No, like, I have nothing to say about
it's
that.
Nothing. It's like it's very.
I support your choice. I support your choice.
Yes, me too.
Next. So Heavenly's packing for her trip to Miami with Simone and Jackie, and she's like, so what are you going to do while I'm gone, Daddy? And he's like, I think maybe I'll go out there one night. Like, he's the Little Mermaid just stuck at the bottom of the ocean. Like, she's just literally the anchor holding him down at the bottom of the ocean.
I just want to be part of your world. Bah, bah, bah.
Like, just kidding. You can go out. I'm like, who wouldn't want to go out? You guys live in a shoebox bedroom with DVDs piled to the ceiling. I don't think we've ever seen their bedroom, have we?
I think we have, yeah.
It needs some work.
I did not notice the DVDs, though.
Yeah, I need some work. Goodness.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad. They've got a big house. If they've got such a big house, why do they have DVDs stacked up? They need to fix
it. It's weird. It's just an odd moment. I had an odd moment.
Yeah.
So then we go to the airport. Basically, the girls travel to Miami. So they get in Miami where they're under this impression that you need big gardening hats and scarves. They all look like they're trying to be in Gone Girl.
Yeah, they look like they are joining Witness Protection. They're going 2 hours away to a major metropolitan area to find anonymity. And they, you know, because they take the flight, etc. And when they land, they hop in this rental car. It's like a convertible. And they all put on these, like, scarves, Thelma and Louise style. But, like, Dr. Jackie, she is, like, she is so concerned with her hair. She is fully babushka'd up. She has, like, tied her scarf on, and then she's, like, holding on to it for dear life and just making it tighter and tighter and tighter. Like, I thought she was going to start singing about a shtetl, you know? Because she was just like, is this the little dentist I raised? Is this the little dentist I cared for?
So they're driving, which I have to say, what a lovely shot
of them driving. The production quality is really upped on this show. I was pretty impressed with this whole driving scene.
It was a lovely
shot. This looks like a movie.
It was also terrifying because Heavenly talked to Dr. Jackie the way people in movies talk to people in the passenger side when they're driving, which is that they don't look at the road. You know, because in movies, they'll be driving and they will fully crane their head to the right and talk. And I don't ever know anyone who does that in real life, and I never do that in real life. And Heavenly was driving along on this crowded-ass highway and, like, fully craning her head to the right to look at Babushka Jackie. And I'm like, girl, you are going to rear-end someone right now.
And Jackie's like, now, this trip, we will be working on the inside of Heavenly. And she's like, well, you got to keep the hose in the back. And she's like, now, Simone is not a hoe. Okay? She's like, now, Jackie, you know I don't mean things. Like if I call you a bitch, I don't mean a female dog. I mean, a nice person. And then we get a montage of Heavenly just calling everyone a bitch and being shocked when they're mad.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't seem to learn, does she?
Yeah. And Simone is like, this bitch has a lot of work to do on this trip. Let's get this bitch going.
Yeah. So they check into the hotel and, you know, it's the usual, like, oh my god, it's a hotel scene where they look at the different rooms, they choose the rooms, and there's, like, a little buffet they set up with sliders and wings and everything. And Jackie has, like, a little plate, and she's, you know, there's all this fried food, so she's sort of delicately taking fried food and being like, oh, there's nothing, doesn't seem to be anything baked here. And Evelyn goes, Jackie, just eat the fuck we got, okay?
And Heavenly's like, I feel a sense of something, not nervousness, but anxiousness. I'm like, yeah, that's the same thing.
I think it may be the sliders.
And then she tells us about her alter ego, Little Kim!
Yeah.
And she says, if you grew up in the south side of Miami, you know that kids can be cruel. Also, everywhere in the world.
Yeah. It's not like kids are not any less cruel. I would actually almost say they're more cruel. They're more cruel in some of the well-off neighborhoods.
Yes. Yeah, kids are pretty much, you know, we've all
awful.
Been kids.
You know what, kids
yeah,
are awful.
We've all
the point
been
is
kids,
this.
Okay?
Kids
we all know
awful,
what it's
awful,
like
awful.
To be awful, because we've all been them. Okay?
Yeah. Honestly, my only insight into what it's like to be, like, a middle schooler in Miami is basically from the movie Moonlight, which was devastating. So if that's what high school is like or middle school is like in Miami, then I get it, because that just destroyed me.
Come back, man.
I know. I'm sorry. I went to a moody place. Did you ever see Moonlight? I forget.
No, and that's the reason I will not ever watch it. I don't like
telling you
like that. Okay.
Situation with a chair. I'm just like, oh,
no. I see it. That I don't want to not like chairs. I love chairs. It's like
it's actually a very thing. It's actually a very satisfying chair moment, but it's also a very sad chair moment.
No, stop.
It's not a spoiler.
Stop it right now.
It's in the trailer. You see him carrying the chair.
No.
I'm gonna put Heavenly into Moonlight.
These are three stages of Heavenly: little girl Heavenly, middle school Heavenly, and grown up Heavenly.
And they all say bitch.
Bitch.
So basically she's really excited, but Jackie and Simone are already in lecture mode, especially Jackie. Jackie is wearing this polka dot satin poof thing. It's
probably
like,
picked out by Curtis.
Yeah, it's kind of like My Fair Lady when they go to the Ascot. It's this weird thing, and it makes noise every time she moves. So as she does her pointing her finger, like political speech talking that she does, you just hear it go,
just want to point out we've mentioned Moonlight and My Fair Lady within 30 seconds of each other on this podcast in reference to Married to Medicine.
Oh my god, the kid from Moonlight as Eliza Doolittle.
We're just going through the M movies. You know, it's sort of like in Moonraker when James Bond had to give a talk to his new Bond lady and be like, you know what? You can't say bitch all the time.
I am dialing M for murder.
It's kind of like in Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome when Tina Turner was like, bitch, get in the Thunderdome.
Madame Bovary, you a bitch, bitch. So Jackie, so Simone is like, woo, when I say Little Kim is a nasty girl, you do not want none. What does she tell Jackie where Jackie says, I can say what I want?
Oh, she's saying, I think when these insecurities come out and you get out nasty, you know, with me and Simone, it doesn't bother us. But some of these other girls get very upset because you run from things and you use words as a weapon instead of using words to build people up and inspire them to have less calories and be less fat.
Yeah, exactly.
And hard to look at.
It's like, settle down, Josh Groban. You lift me up with your words of encouragement and fit me. Fit me. See, I can't even get fit me right. So, and then Heavily like, well, when I'm honest, it's not a retaliation, it's just the truth.
And just, like, yes, but when you come out with the B word, it's a retaliation, girl. And she's like, my mama called me that. Words don't mean nothing. My mama called me the B word. And she's like, your mama called you a bitch?
I love Heavenly's casual disclosure of childhood traumas. Like, she doesn't even realize. It's like, I wonder why I'm afraid of the dark. Maybe it's because my mama always kept me in a bag for days on end. But probably not. She was just being nice. It's like, hello, childhood trauma alert.
I don't know why I love potatoes. I think it's because my mom would bury my head underground, and when I was in trouble, and then she would pluck me out and butter me up.
I wonder why I hate hoes so much. Maybe it's because my mama used to beat me with a hoe all the time.
It's like, Heavenly. I was just like, And they're all like, they're like looking back and forth at each other, like, yeah. It's clocks, like, hello. I think we found the trauma.
Yeah, hi, you've been traumatized, okay? So then Heavenly starts getting defensive, because Jackie really is on, like, some hill, like, giving a speech right now. She won't shut up. So she just keeps going on and lecturing and lecturing, and Heavenly goes, now, Jackie, I want you to know I'd rather you call people a bitch instead of the way you talk to them. And Jackie's like, so we're doing a circle now? Because Sister, you don't like what I'm saying?
Claude just appears at the window. She's just like at the window. Sister Circle!
Now this I can be a part of!
She just slides slowly down the window. Like, what was that?
And Heavenly's like, you're just ganging up on Heavenly Day. And she's like, we are not ganging up on you. She's like, I'm not being defensive. And Jackie goes, you're twitching your neck. And Simone's like, stop with the neck twitch.
So Heavenly's kind of like busted. So they do like a pinky swear that Heavenly won't be combative during this weekend, which good luck with that. But they make a pinky swear, and, you know, onwards and upwards. We'll see what this investigation finds next week. And then the episode, we then find Contessa at home in her kitchen, and she's just like, Contessa's always sort of rummaging around or doing something. Here she's sort of like microwaving leftovers or something, and her phone rings, and she takes out the phone, and she puts it on speaker, and she goes, hey, Doc! I'm like, why are you yelling in your kitchen right now?
And the doctor has an appointment open for tomorrow to get her double mastectomy, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And that's how that ends.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, way to end on a fun note, guys.
A mastectomy cliffhanger. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
She's like, I'm in. I'll take it. Like, it's so weird. So that ends Married to Medicine. Do not forget to go get tickets. The crappies go on sale this Friday. Also, we're going to be in New York next week. Thursday night, we are going to be doing Real Housewives of Dallas. And Friday night, we are doing Real Housewives of New York, Go to Morocco.
Yeah.
Then in November, we're going to be in Seattle. And in December, we're going to be in Nashville. And then January is going to be the Crappy Awards. So yeah. Go get your tickets. Also, this is the last chance to get your head back t-shirts over at crappinsmerch.com to find links for tickets and merch. And Patreon for our bonus episodes, which was really fun this week. We talked a bunch of TV shows that we're watching, terrible cop shows that have been released. You can just go to watchwhatcrappens.com for all those links. And we will talk to you tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Orange County.
Woohoo! Bye, everyone.